All right, if you would, as I mentioned, turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk and chapter number one. You'll have to forgive my voice again. I got a little bit better throughout the week, and then just really this morning, yesterday a little bit, but this morning my voice just kind of decided to take a hiatus. And so that's sometimes the way it works, but I appreciate you being faithful and just listening. And the good news is that if anything good comes of the message, then we absolutely know that it will be the Lord, don't we? It'll be the Lord and not man and not his ability to make something happen. Of course, that's always the way it is, isn't it? But it'd be a good reminder for us. Habakkuk chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1 and we'll read down through verse 4. And a little bit of an unusual passage when you think about Christmas, but I felt led of the Lord to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled Christmas in a Violent World. Christmas in a Violent World. The prophet Habakkuk saw violence, and it bothered him. He saw violence, and he was concerned, and he prayed to God, as we're going to see here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and he asked God why that was, why God allowed violence in this world. And so we can see his heart and probably see our own heart in it, but I want to encourage you that God has an answer for why violence is in the world. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Christmas in a violent world. We live in a violent world, don't we? Well, God has an answer for it, and the answer is Christmas. It's God's answer for a violent world. And I'll share that truth with you and why I say that here in just a moment. Let's pray. You pray with me silently as I pray out loud. Let's ask the Lord for his help this morning. Father, we come before you this morning because we are needy. Lord, it's very obvious that I'm in need of your help with my voice and the rough shape that it's in. But Lord, the truth of the matter is, even if it were perfectly fine, and Lord, if there were no problems with it, I would still be in desperate need of your help. I just wouldn't feel it as much. But Lord, the truth would nevertheless be the same. So Lord, we together as a congregation ask for your help this morning. Lord, I ask that you would enable me to preach with power and authority from your word this morning, to be true to your word and to be a help to your people and a source of glory for your name. Lord, I ask that you would give all of us ears to hear, and Lord, allow that my voice would not be a distraction, but rather that the power of your word would go forth. Lord, would you do that, I pray, in a mighty way. Lord, for those that are within the sound of my voice this morning who have yet to believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you open their eyes and give them understanding this morning? Lord, we know that those who are born again are not born of flesh and blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are born of you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause those that have yet to be born again today by the power of your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, they would believe the gospel and be saved. Lord, I pray for those of us who are already born again, that, Lord, we would be encouraged and challenged, that we would be emboldened in these days to speak with boldness in the midst of a violent world of the peace that you can give. I ask, Lord, that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Habakkuk lived in a violent world, and he spoke about that before the Lord. It mentions in verse number 2 that he cried out to the Lord, Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Well, you know, the world today is crying out because of the violence that we see all around us. And there's so many times that as a whole, our society will say things like, you know, our prayers go out for the families of the victims of different tragedies. And people cry out to God and say things like, God, why do you allow these things to happen? Obviously on all of our minds is what happened not far from us here today, just down the road really, and next to one of our sister churches, Grace Baptist Church, is on that same road that the Abundant Life Christian School is just down the road from it. And I've been in that school a couple of different times. I've gotten work permits for my teenagers at that very school right there and walked in and talked to the different people in the administration office when I've gotten those work permits and seen them. And what a shocking time it was on Monday when one of the deacons texted our group, deacon group text and said, hey, there's been a shooting. And we looked and saw on the news what had happened. And think about the fact that there was a young girl, 15 years old, isn't that amazing, 15, who apparently had her mind filled with all kinds of things that would cause her to commit a violent act like she did. It's just unfathomable for me that anyone would do that, but especially a 15-year-old girl. But from what I understand, she was a new student at the school there and walked in and, of course, took the lives of at least two people right now and a couple more, from what I understand, are still in a rough shape in the hospital. And the girl who died there on the scene was a 14-year-old girl. I believe she went to the church there, City Church, and seemed like, just from the obituary and different things, that she was a sweet Christian young lady who loved the Lord and served God with her life. Again, I didn't know her personally, but just what I saw. And of course, there was a teacher, 42 years old, from DeForest, who also lost her life. And again, didn't know her personally. She went to a non-denominational church here in Madison that's fairly new, and she lost her life. But from what I hear, from things that I've read, she loved the Lord and loved people and wanted to serve God and served at a Christian school. Why is it that things like that can happen? That two people who, as far as we know, were born again, on their way to heaven, serving the Lord, could wake up one Monday morning and not know that it would be their last and they would die in a violent way and be in heaven in a few short hours. How could God allow that to happen when there are so many wicked people in the world and we read about them every day in the newspaper, on the national news? Or I think about that guy in Germany. I don't know if you saw the story just a couple of days ago, who took his car, and 50-year-old man from Saudi Arabia who had a permit to be in Germany and to work in Germany, and he took his car and ran into a Christmas market in Germany and hurt hundreds of people and killed several. Why is it that that person lived and a 14-year-old Christian girl died? Why? Well, that's the kind of thing that Habakkuk was asking in Habakkuk 1. But I want us to think about Christmas today in a violent world. What makes Christmas so special? Why is it that, maybe not for everybody, but for many people, this is their favorite time of year? Now, it would probably be more people's favorite time of year if it didn't look like that outside, right? And it wasn't so cold like we had the last couple of days. It'd be a lot easier if there were tropical breezes, right? But listen, why is it that it's so often people's favorite time of the year? Is it the lights? Well, there's a lot of songs that talk about the Christmas lights, aren't there? I could sing for you this morning, but you wouldn't want to hear it. There's a song that talks about candy canes and silver lanes aglow. Is that what makes Christmas so special? The beauty of the decorations? Well, it certainly is beautiful, and I do enjoy them. I really do. Is it the Christmas carols? Boy, all you hear going around town or anywhere is Christmas songs, right? And is it the Christmas songs, the Christmas carols, that make Christmas so special? Is that why we and society as a whole loves Christmas so much? And is that why it has such a special place in our heart? Or maybe this, maybe it's family get-togethers. Boy, getting together with your loved ones. And commercials will certainly try to sell us on that as the thing that makes Christmas so special. Well, I think anybody who's lived very long at all knows Christmas get-togethers are not what make Christmas so special. In fact, sometimes they are the source of stress. If it wasn't for Christmas or get-togethers with your family, Christmas would be pretty good. And it's just the truth, isn't it? Christmas get-togethers can be stressful. Mainly it's because I'm the only good sibling in our family. All right? The rest of them, there was a reason I was the favorite, all right? All jokes aside, though, right? Those things don't do it. In fact, listen, think about the families who lost their loved ones this week. Even the dad of the girl who committed the act. I feel for that man and his and her mom as well. They must be hurting in ways we cannot even comprehend. Do you think candy canes and silver lanes aglow make a dent in their sorrow this Christmas? Do you think family get-togethers will pull them through? Or Christmas carols, boy, I just couldn't have made it were it not for Silent Night or, you know, whatever. Friends, listen, those things are not going to make a dent in their suffering this week. In fact, they might make the pain a little worse. But let's come back to that question about what makes Christmas so special. Let's ask a different question. We'll come back to that one. But why is it that we live in such a violent world? Never get tired of hearing these truths because you and I need to be reminded of it. Why do we live in a violent world? Number one, because sin brought the curse of death upon us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they brought the curse of sin into the world. And you and I cannot escape that. That is the reason there is suffering in this world. Before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no suffering. God made a perfect world with no death, with no sorrow. But he warned man and gave him a choice and said, listen, you can eat of every tree of the garden except one, the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of that, for in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm not quoting that 100% right, but it's Genesis 2 and verse 17. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And think about Adam, I believe, had no idea what he was bringing into the world. Now, he should have. He should have taken God at his word. Because God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam instead listened to his wife, and his wife listened to the serpent. And the serpent said, oh, you're not going to die. God is just trying to hold back from you. He just knows that in the day you eat thereof, you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. And God wants to hold back on you. And Adam and Eve didn't realize the death that you and I would suffer. And by the way, they suffered with it as well. Remember, two of their sons? One killed the other? Listen, they saw the type of things and they felt the type of things that the families are feeling this very week. And it's all because they brought that into the world. Sin brings death every single time. That's why we live in such a violent world. That's why a man would do what he did, that 50-year-old doctor in Germany, and kill a bunch of people in a Christmas market. What a sick, twisted thing to do. But he did it because sin is in this world, and sin twists the minds of men. There's another reason why we live in a violent world. And it's because the imagination of man's heart is only evil. I know society tells you that everybody deep down is really good, but that's a lie. Friends, that is a lie. We are not good. There is none righteous, no, not one, not a one of us. Those of us, as I am, who are very religious. Listen, I've been very religious all my life. But I also have a heart like you do, that only imagines evil continually. I, like you, have to control my heart and my mind, because if I don't, and by the way, I do it by the power of the Spirit of God, but if I don't, my mind and my heart will go towards wicked things as well. And I won't share with you the things that I have to fight, because you would look at me funny. But the truth of the matter is, you fight with them too. Because the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. Genesis 6:5 states that. It says, but God saw, or and God saw, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 5. There's a third reason why we live in a violent world, and it's because the flesh is wicked. By the flesh, we mean our sin nature, the normal state of who we are. That goes along a little bit about the imagination of our heart, but it's a little more specific. Galatians 5, verse 19. The flesh is very wicked. Galatians 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And by the way, before we read them, I want you to think about this when you think of the works of the flesh. You put your name in here, okay? I'm going to use mine, but you put your name in. The works that Mike Weiss does by his nature. If Mike Weiss did whatever he wanted to do, these would be his works. If Mike Weiss did not listen to the Holy Spirit of God, did not obey Scripture, and just did whatever felt good, here's what would be the result. And you put your name in there, because we're all the same. And here's what it is. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The reason we live in a violent world is the flesh is wicked. And as we go through this world, as we go through this life, what we're seeing is a culture that has set aside the moral strains that would normally hold us back from our fleshly desires. And as we get further into a society that tears down those moral standards and those barriers that would hold us back, then we're going to see those things more and more. But I want to remind you, they've always been around. This last week, my wife and I had the privilege to get away for just a couple of days. And I appreciate you being patient with us as we were gone for a couple of days this last week. Some of you didn't even notice. And that's okay. But listen, we were gone for just a couple of days, and we went to Chicago. And I know, who goes to Chicago? Like, why would we do that? Well, it's a sinful world. What can we say? I had to get ready for a message called Christmas in a Violent World, and I came back from Chicago, and here it is. All joking aside, we had a great time. And we went to the Chicago History Museum, which is a neat museum. We really enjoyed it. And you know, one of the things you learn when you look through the history of any big city is there's always been violence. One of the displays that they had was about the race riots that were in Chicago. And you might say, okay, well, Pastor, what year were those race riots? Okay, well, you know, you and I might think, okay, well, you know, 2020 when George Floyd was killed? Maybe then, right? Or 2016, I think there was some other event that happened, or maybe, you know, Rodney King, you remember him, and what was that, 1989? Can't we all just get along, right? That Rodney King? Maybe then, right? Or 1968, that was a bad year with lots of race riots, right? No. These race riots that they had a whole section about were in 1919. I thought everything was perfect in 1919. I didn't know people fought with one another, and you know, they told some of the stories of this group over here, you know, would attack this group over here, and, you know, bombs and just beating up random people and sending people to the hospital and killing others. You mean that happened in 1919? Yeah, because man is wicked and the flesh is always going to do those type of things. We live in a sin-cursed world that is violent. And then here's another point. Turn with me to Ephesians. We're asking, why is it that we live in a sin-cursed world? Ephesians chapter 6, number one, because sin brought curse of death into the world. Number two, because the imagination of man's heart is only evil. Number three, because the flesh is wicked. Number four is very important for us to remember. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 gives us this fourth point. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The reason, one of the reasons that we live in a violent world is because Satan is the prince of this world. We often forget that. But Satan is the enemy of mankind. Satan is the enemy of mankind. Some of these people who commit horrible things will say things like, voices were in my head telling me to do it. Or, you know, some spirit visited them and said that they should do X, right? Whatever. What is that? Well, I don't know in every single case the specifics, but Satan is behind that. And Satan is the enemy of mankind. Listen, he definitely wants you and me as Christians. We talk about that often, right? That we should be sober and be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is true. But listen, he's not just our enemy. He hates mankind. And he will kill as many human beings as he possibly can. And if he could kill all of us as human beings, he would. Because he hates mankind. And he loves it when people commit violence, when terrible people like the guy who was just kicked out of Syria, Bashar Assad, who horribly treated his people and different types of poisonous gas on his own people and all kinds of things. By the way, the new group coming in is probably going to be worse. And he loves it when people like that do that. He loved it when Hitler attacked the Jews and killed an estimated 6 million Jews. By the way, that's real. That really did happen. Don't let anybody tell you that that's a hoax. It's not. That really did happen. Satan was behind that. Not just the killing of Jews. Listen, Hitler tried to kill as many homosexuals as he could. Now, listen, homosexuality is sin, and it's wrong, and it's wicked. But Satan was behind Hitler trying to kill those people. That's satanic. Satan is glad to kill anybody he can. And we could talk about Mao in China, by the way, who was worse than Hitler as far as the number of people that he killed. We could talk about in Soviet Russia, the millions and millions of people who died. Satan loves that, and he is the enemy of mankind. And Satan is hard at work. If you're following along in the scripture reading, as we do that on a daily basis in our Bible reading, we are right now in the book of Revelation. There are great miseries spoken of in the book of Revelation that Satan brings about in the world. Many different parts of it will say a third of the people died, or this many people died, or whatever, or this kind of torturous thing went on. Revelation talks about that, and that a lot of that will be perpetrated by Satan and his forces. But do you realize that Satan is trying to do those things right now? Those just aren't for Revelation. Satan wants to do them now. But there's one thing that's keeping Satan from doing that. The Bible speaks about he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That when it says he who now letteth, it means he who restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. I believe personally that's the Spirit of God in this world. That when Pentecost came, the Spirit of God came in a special way. And the Spirit of God is the only thing preventing Satan. And he's trying it over and over and over. Again, he tried it with Nebuchadnezzar. He tried it with the Medes and the Persians. He tried it with the Greeks. He tried it later with the Romans and many of their emperors and their Caesars who killed many people. And he tried it in different parts of history as you read the world history. And he tried it in modern history with guys, again, like Hitler and Mao and Stalin and guys like that. And even today with guys like Saddam Hussein and many others that we could list who have done evil things and wanted to set up their own empire. Satan is behind all of that because Satan loves death and destruction. But God, for now, is restraining him and only allowing him to work within a limited sphere. But that's why we live in a sin-cursed world, and never forget it. By the way, that's why you don't have to fear, because God is the one restraining Satan. And you are God's child. Not that God won't let you suffer. Again, two people this week that died, as far as we know, they're born-again Christians. But God did allow them to suffer. But God will be with us even in the suffering, because we are his children. So if we ask ourselves another question, what can mankind do then to bring peace to this world? If we live in a wicked, violent world, what can we do as a people to bring peace to this world? Will singing songs bring peace to this world? Boy, it's been tried a lot, hasn't it? You remember in the 80s, there were several different times that all the famous artists got together and did a benefit, and they wrote these songs, you know, We Are the World and things like that. And they thought that would bring peace to the world. How did it do? Are we doing pretty good? Did that make a dent? Not even a dent. And they still try it today. Writing songs about peace will not bring peace to this world. And I'm not against writing songs about peace. How about community action? Will that make it happen? I appreciate our dear police chief, and I do not envy him in the position that he was in this week. And our mayor as well. I'm not a fan of our mayor and all that. And I don't envy her position that she was in this last week. But listen, community action and getting people together and staging a walk out at the high school and walking down to the Capitol will not change a thing. It's not the answer. Not to say we shouldn't try to change things if things need to be changed. But that's not the answer. There's nothing that mankind can do to bring about peace, because mankind is the problem. So let's go back to our original question and we'll close the message. Remember what our original question was? What makes Christmas so special? Why is it that this is such a special holiday to us? Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I believe Luke 2, just a short little verse in Luke 2, gives us the answer. Why is Christmas so special? Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," now these are the angels who declared to the shepherds that Jesus had been born. And in verse 14, here's what those angels say. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know what makes Christmas so special? Is Christmas is a celebration of what we all long for. Christmas is a celebration of peace on earth. It's what everybody wants. No matter the color of their skin, the country of their origin, their economic status, how old they are or young they are, male or female, every individual wants peace on earth. And we love Christmas, and it is so special to us because deep within our hearts, there is a longing for peace on earth. And Christmas gives that hope. The problem is that many times Satan diverts our attention away from the source of the peace that Christmas promised, toward other things. And we think, I know, it's the beautiful snowfall on a cold winter's night and being out in the woods somewhere and Christmas lights and a crackling fire. I know you're wanting to be there now, aren't you? And looking out the window and having my loved one in my arms and drinking a cup of hot chocolate as we look out at the snowy winter wonderland, or in my case, tropical breezes. That's what makes Christmas so special, that wonderful thought of that peaceful scene. Well, listen, that is an illustration of peace. But the peace that really Christmas is all about is the peace that Jesus brings. So here's how Christmas brings peace on earth. The answer is because the first Christmas brought the promised Messiah into the world. When Jesus Christ entered into the world that first Christmas day, when he was born, he brought peace into the world. And here's how he brought peace. Number one, by giving us peace with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Just quickly, Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Why is it that the angels declared peace on earth? Because now that Jesus has come, he has given me the opportunity to be at peace with God. Remember, I talked to you about how Galatians, when it said the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and it listed all these horrible things, adultery and fornication and hatred and variance and all these things. And I said, you know, we could put our name in there and say, Mike Weiss, if he does what is natural to him, here's the result. Because of that, by my nature, I am an enemy of God. And so are you. But a month ago, my first grandchild was born into the world, Gideon. Cute little guy. Man, I tell you what, we enjoy him. A lot of fun watching him and holding him, and I enjoy watching my wife hold him and my daughters and all of that. Just a lot of fun to have that little grandchild. But the truth of the matter is, listen, little Gideon, by his nature, is not at peace with God. He's an enemy of God. He wants his own way. And he, like a sheep, has gone his own way away from the true shepherd. By his nature, that's what he is. And I know you have a hard time seeing it, but it's true. Listen, just give him a little time. Just leave him to his own devices. Don't discipline him. Let the real Gideon come out. Let him express himself. And you know what? God forbid, if that were to happen, you know what he would be? A school shooter. I know this is a shocking thing to say, but you know what he would be? A horrible human being who would be selfish, angry, take advantage of other people so that he could get what he wants. You know why? Because his grandfather's that way. See, we are all by nature enemies of God. But now that Jesus has come into the world, I have peace with God. I'm not his enemy anymore. I don't fear someday to stand before him because I'm not his enemy anymore. And that all is because of Jesus. And I can rest and be at peace to where I know that when my life is over and I stand before the living God, I will not have to be in fear of judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I have peace with God. God loves me and he is for me. But that's all because of Jesus. It's not because of me, because of Jesus. The other thing that Christmas brings peace in is, listen, we have peace with one another. We have peace with one another. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know what makes this world beautiful? Is when people care for one another and love on one another. And how can that be? Because of Jesus. Again, I don't know the details. I don't know the people who are involved. But I just read some stories. And I was so very proud of some of the people who were involved in this week's incidents. One of them being a family spokesperson for the young girl who did die. And the family spokesperson said something like this, don't quote me on it. He said, we hold no hard feelings toward the shooter or the family of the shooter. We know they're hurting. And I don't forget if the exact words "we forgive them" were used, but it was something along those lines. Way to go. Good job. Well done. But how can that be? How can you, after losing a 14-year-old girl, 14 years old, innocent, going to school, ready for Christmas, her Christmas presents are probably under the tree, and you lost her due to violence from somebody who was just in a rough situation, how can you forgive? Because of Jesus. Jesus brings peace where normally there would be hatred. We can have peace, and we do have peace with one another through Jesus. Also, Christmas brings peace in that, listen, we all have peace awaiting us. Peace in heaven. Someday we will, as Psalm 37 says, delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. So what makes Christmas so special? Christmas in a violent world. Well, here's what does. Peace. The peace that only Jesus can bring. And so let me ask you this question as we close. Do you know Jesus? Is he yours? Not do you know about him, do you know him? Have you believed on him? You see, he's the Son of God who came into this world to die for sinners. And he did. He fulfilled every scripture and died for our sin. And then he was buried and he rose again because he is God in the flesh. And so he rose again just like the scriptures said that he would. And now he lives on high and he sits at the Father's right hand and he intercedes for you and me. Have you believed on him? If not, you need to. Because someday he's coming to judge this world. And it will not be a time of peace. It will be a time of judgment, except for those who have believed on him. They will be safe in heaven with him, enjoying the blessings of peace. And that can be yours. But you've got to believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray.